when I started to really pay attention to what was being paid attention to, and it's not motives, it's not intentions, right? It is just all of a sudden you sit back and you go, why are we spending so much time and energy and resources on things that make us feel good about the kingdom we're building here?
Welcome back to the Rheology Podcast. Rheology is a nonprofit ministry that is centered around rethinking, researching, and rediscovery, a process that dives deep into the depths of an intimate partnership with God through a concept Jesus initiated called ecclesia. We strive to cultivate an environment that is not only safe to question and seek, but also one that is founded on the truths of partnership, words of hope that were uttered from the lips of Jesus himself. So in this podcast, we'll question Christian tradition, we'll investigate God myths, and we'll listen to those who are stirring, questioning, and desperately seeking more of what God is doing in and around us each day.
Hey everybody, this is Scott Johnson with the Rheology Podcast, obviously, and today we're continuing on in the whole interview process we got going on with different people who are stirring. And today we're going to talk to this guy. His name is Darren Martin. You may have heard me mention Darren multiple different times, definitely during my story of how I got to where I am right here now. And he was mentioned in the book, obviously. And he's one of our biggest fans. Darren listens like every week.
I do. I've listened to every single one beginning to end.
We're going
to
give you a pin for that, a pledge pin. Nice. So welcome aboard, Darren Martin. Hey, thank you so much for coming in the middle of a tropical storm.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm dedicated.
You are.
Like, that's why I get the pin.
That's why you get the pin. You're dedicated and your devotion precedes you. It really does. So thanks for coming and for being on the podcast today. So we're going to try to start like we do with everybody else. Basically, kind of wanted like you talk about first and foremost, like your history growing up in Christianity or not growing up in Christianity. Just kind of, you know, start there and we'll go from there.
Yeah, perfect. So starting from the current day, so I'm rapidly approaching 50, right? So there's some context going for how far back this goes. I grew up in a Christian home, and I grew up in really what, if anybody's familiar with it, it's a Dallas Theological Seminary non-denominational Bible church in the heart of Texas. So I grew up in every church program possible. And I loved it. It was great. I mean, we were, you know, so this was in the, this was in the early 80s, right? So, I mean, the Awanas and Navigators, and I was part of the children's choir and all of the plays.
You got pins from those too?
Oh my gosh, dude. They're still lining my wall.
Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. I'm like David, right? You got to bring trophies from your past.
There they are, absolutely.
So, you know, and then it was Wednesday night. Couldn't be part of, you know, the wait to be part of the Wednesday night youth group. I mean, every youth event, I was there. But I loved it. Like, I really had a phenomenal experience growing up in this church. Our senior pastor, what up, Bob?
What up, Bob?
Was great. My youth pastor, what up, Todd?
Todd?
Was awesome and really instrumental in my growth as a young guy. And also all the way through high school, man, I was really involved. Like, you know, every mission trip, every retreat, discipleship weekend, whatever we were doing, I was there. And not only there, but probably leading something.
Yeah.
Became part of the worship band and all that good stuff. Actually, then, right, so short break because I joined the Marine Corps, and that's a whole nother story. But when I came back, I went to community college back home, and I interned at my church.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking, man, this was so great. This is where I want to be. This is what I want to do. I think that maybe God is like, has stirred something in me to be a part of this on a more ongoing basis. Interned there for what, a year and a half. It was awesome, right? Because all I got to do now is I got paid to be part of youth group. And it was amazing.
Yeah. You went from non-paid youth group guy to paid youth group guy.
That's right. Yeah. I was paying to be there to being paid to be there. And I thought, oh my gosh, this is what I want to do. This is my thing.
Yeah.
And I then went to Jerry Falwell Land. I went to school at Liberty University.
Yeah.
Up in Lynchburg, Virginia. And
why there? Because I mean, you know, Virginia, Texas.
Oh, so correct.
They're not right next door to one another.
Right. So when I researched all of the Christian schools that were out there, I mean, I looked at a whole bunch of them, and that's the one that I thought, hey, I like I like their program. I like, you know, the stuff that they're doing. Mm-hmm. So that's where I went.
And they're a bigger school.
Bigger school. Yeah. Right. And, you know.
And a university, not just a Bible college.
So, correct.
Yeah.
Correct. And my military scholarship worked there and all this kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
And I, out of my whole family, I am the only one that has left Texas. Like I'm the explorer. I'm the guy that goes out and is like, hey, what's over here? And they're like, we don't go over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I do because that's interesting. So, went to Liberty for 3 years. My degree was actually in adolescent developmental psychology and family systems.
Okay.
Because fascinating. I mean, right?
Okay. Yeah.
And then I minored in youth ministry because I thought, what a beautiful pairing. Got the degree, got the diploma, got married, and found my beautiful bride at Liberty. What's up, Heather?
Heather.
And and then I got my first job as a pastor, as a All youth right. pastor.
Yeah.
Up in Cleveland, Ohio.
He just keeps going north, guys. He can't stop him.
I know.
Well, it did.
Yeah. I mean, because it was Cleveland, first of all.
Yeah, that was far north you wanted to go.
I will be the first person to stop the hate on Cleveland.
Okay.
Cleveland is a cool city.
Okay.
It really is a cool city. Like, if you actually go, the weather is
I was going to say, awful. Cool temperature-wise or cool, like, you know.
Like, cool. Like, Fonzie cool.
Fonzie cool. Yeah. Okay.
The weather's not great.
No.
It was the first time where I experienced the potential for snow 6 months out of the year. It's the first time where I experienced snow before Halloween. And after Memorial Day.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. It was May, right? And I'm like,
sure.
This is awful.
Yeah.
And I've never shoveled so much wet, heavy snow in my life.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'm working at a church up there and youth ministry, right? And it's just like, oh, man, this is it. I'm the intrepid guy. I'm going out. I'm making my way. And So now I want to be very careful because I love everybody at that church.
We're not going to say the name of the church. That's one of the deals here.
I love everybody at that church.
Sure.
From the senior pastor to the person that I maybe just passed a few times in the hallway somewhere. Mm-hmm. But my experience did not align with my expectation of everything that I thought it was going to be, that mm-hmm. I was told it was going to be.
Right.
And so all of a sudden, at first I'm just like, oh, well, you know, this is fine. I'm just getting used to a new thing. And, but after a couple of years, well, and honestly, I wasn't really concerned about most of that because I had kids that I was trying to reach.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to figure out how to how to make this whole thing work. How do I engage in this youth culture in the southern suburbs of Cleveland, Ohio? And you know, how do I get there? And so that was my focus, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, over time, as I continued to get more comfortable there and got to know more people and became more involved in the workings and runnings of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just remember thinking, I mean, there was just a time where I just remember thinking, wait a second, what are we doing?
Yeah.
None of it was bad.
Yeah.
Like, and I'll just, you know, I'll go on record as saying that growing up in the church for me was awesome.
Yeah.
And it was absolutely instrumental in my spiritual formation as a person.
Sure.
Which is why I assumed that as I got older, right, that as I progressed, church was going to progress, right? Yeah, it was going to. But when I got onto the other side of the curtain,
yeah,
and I started looking at how things were done, that's not when I started to really pay attention,
yeah,
to what was being paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not motives, it's not intentions, right? Right? Nope. It is just all of a sudden you sit back and you go, why are we spending so much time and energy and resources on things that make us feel good about the kingdom we're building here?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you and I have talked about this so much, and and sometimes because I know that we've talked about it, I kind of skip past this.
Right. Yeah. It is easy to do that. Because we didn't skip past this 10 years ago.
Right. Yeah. You and I have been on this for 12.
Yeah.
12 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
13 almost.
13. Yeah. Almost. Right.
Pretty much.
So I'm trying not to skip past, a history that you and I have with this. The things that we're being paid attention to, right? And that's, I think, for me, was just this. And now I'm a young guy, right? I'm still in my, I started kind of late. So maybe I'm in my late 20s at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, everything that I had looked at and learned about in the Bible, the things that were important to Jesus, I saw a version of it out here.
Right.
But I didn't see, how do I explain this? But I didn't see the connection to it because the things that we were doing as a church ultimately became a substitute for following Jesus.
Yeah.
It looks like following Jesus. It sounds like following Jesus. It smells like following Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We even create the fake dust, right? It's like, hey, look, you know, we're going to cover you in dust so that you look like you're, you know, it's that following in the dust of your rabbi whole thing. And it just became about sustaining the organization in the name of Jesus, than really just being about Jesus and let happen, you know, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah.
Because now all of a sudden we've got, paychecks wrapped up in it. We've got ego.
Yeah.
And reputation.
Yeah.
Wrapped up into it. And these are all the things that we shove under the table because we know that they're there, but on the stage on a Sunday morning, it's never about that.
Right.
Right. And so and I also want to be clear to say that it's not just the church I was working at.
You're right.
I became familiar with all of the churches in our area.
Right, yeah.
And then even when we left that area and we moved down here to what you guys like to call sunny Burbank, California. Yep. I like to call Charlotte, North Carolina.
Okay. That's interesting. It's only sunny Burbank, California in here.
Right. That's although not today.
Not today.
It's a tropical storm.
It's tropical.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just tropical.
It's just tropical. Tropical Burbank.
You know, even moving down here and having had the experiences that I had had and seen the things, it was so much easier for me.
Yeah.
When attending, to look beyond what's being presented.
Yep.
And I go, oh, I actually see what's happening.
Yeah.
I see what's happening behind that. Right. And I have a pretty good idea of why that's happening because of what's happening behind that.
Uh-huh.
And it just time and time and time again, I just sat there and I kept thinking, this can't be it. This can't be the pinnacle.
Mm-hmm.
This can't be what Jesus had in mind when he hung on the cross so that I would have an opportunity to be in relationship with him and to follow him.
Yep.
Because all of this is a substitute.
Yeah.
And I've obviously, and you know, I mean, I've got all kinds of thoughts and theories as to why that is. I mean, it's easier. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line is, it's just easier to go to church and do church things than it is to actually follow Jesus.
Yeah.
And we are a busy culture.
Yep.
And we love having the boxes to check. Hey, my church tells me that I get to go, I get check that box off. I worshiped, I tithed, mm-hmm. I volunteered, and I brought somebody.
Yep.
And look at me, the organization that I'm attending tells me that I am being a good follower of Jesus by helping my church build their own kingdom. I know that sounds so like judgmental.
Yeah, but honestly, the people that are watching this, that doesn't sound judgmental to them. It sounds like normal. Let me go back to something you said, because I want to hit on this because I don't know about you specifically, but I get this all the time that the reason why we feel what we feel is because there had to be some sort of damage done where we experienced something negative and hurtful and whatever. And really all this is about, and all of the movement itself is really all it's really about is this hurt feelings. So I wanted to, you said a while ago that like for you, you know, it didn't come out of a position of, you know, bad. And because for you and I, we're both wired pretty similarly. We are analytical guys.
Right.
And we have a tendency to look at anything and go, how does that work? Mm-hmm. How could it work better?
Right.
We just can't help it. That's just the way it is. So like, you know, while you were talking, it's like when you came up as a kid, you had a great time and it was great and everything, but you know, you were in youth group. And so of course you did. Youth group was freaking awesome. You know,
right.
My youth group was freaking awesome. I loved it. It's same story. It's what got me wanting to go to ministry. But it's also after our brains fully developed that we probably become more of this analytical mindset and we start to go, what the? And I think you and I have talked about this before. Our approach to youth ministry was very much, like you said, a ministry to make disciples out of teenagers.
Right.
It was not to create events and just keep numbers coming and whatever. It was more of that. And so I think probably one of the bigger keys for like you and I is that when we get more and more into that, like you said, a couple of years later, you're starting to go, well, this is actually going cool, but what are y'all doing? And then it's not out of a negativity. It's out of a, it's out of that analytical for us anyway. Not that it can't initiate from someone getting their feelings hurt. I'm sure it can. There's lots of ways questioning and stirring happens. But so would you say that's like a fair assessment for you?
That is. And I will say working in a church is no different than working in any other work environment.
Yep.
There are going to be times where your feelings get hurt.
Yep.
And were there times like that for me? Well, sure. Because you're in an interdependent relationship with multiple other people.
Right.
And people are imperfect. So yeah, sometimes people cross paths and you're like, boy, I gotta.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So I'm not going to say that nothing like that ever happened, but I will say that it never was any part of the reason for what I was experiencing. As a matter of fact, I think the very first time that I really started to question was when limitations were placed on me in my youth ministry. Mm-hmm. I wanted to do something that I felt was going to be impactful.
Yep.
And I was told no.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, but wait, I realize that you may not understand that why I would put such forth and this much energy and resources into something that's going to impact a handful of kids and not the 50 kids, not the 100 kids,
right?
You know, because it's well, how many, right? It's the how many are coming to youth group?
Yep.
How many are now coming to Sunday morning?
Yep.
How many new kids are we and it became this game of measuring
yep.
things. And I'm not saying that measuring things is wrong.
No.
But when that becomes what you serve, then it's wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
And there were times when I wanted to serve Jesus.
Right.
In a very real and profound way. And I was told no.
Yeah.
And that's when I go, well, wait a second.
Yeah.
What are we doing? And so it was born out of that. It wasn't born out of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I love the people, you know, at the church that I work with.
Yep.
And it was just where I realized that, and I was realizing at that point that the church experience, it has a limit.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, the existence of the church, the activity of the church starts to revolve around the existence of the church, that church body, not church. Big,
institutional,
the local. We're talking about that activity of that local body becomes about the ongoing existence and survival of that body.
Yeah,
it is what it is.
Yeah,
but I think we have to acknowledge and realize that creates a cap, that creates a limit, and there are people who get to that point and they go, "Great, what's next?"
Mm-hmm.
And they're looking at the church and the body that they grew up in that got them to that point. And they're like, what's next?
Yeah.
And the church just goes, what do you mean what's next?
All right, this is it.
Keep coming.
Right.
Worship.
Yeah.
Tithe.
Yeah.
Volunteer. Bring somebody. This is what we do.
This is what we do. Yeah.
And so, you know, and that's, so that for me, that was the stirring. That was that can't possibly be the end of this.
Yeah.
And so I stopped being a pastor. I stopped being a paid pastor. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
I've never stopped being a pastor.
Right.
But the way in which I serve God based on who He's made me to be just looks so different today.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe I'm not speaking to 500 people. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
I've never needed that.
Yeah.
But He brings people into my life where He allows me and who He's made me to be, the way He's designed me to think and see things, and all of the experiences that He's brought me through to be a voice of love and hope in other people's desperate situations.
Yeah.
And you know what? Honestly, I'm really good with that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need big names. I honestly don't need anybody to know my name. That's so unimportant to me. I just want people to know, you know, okay, I'm kind of getting off track here, but you know, I think part of my stirring story, because it happened so long ago for me, and you and I have really traversed this for what for us at the time was just this unknown ground in front of us, right? Mm-hmm. We were just like
wilderness.
Yeah, it was just wilderness. Just we're like, and I know you've mentioned it before, but mm-hmm. we're sitting there, you know, eating our lunch together, like, oh my gosh, is anybody else feeling this way? And then, of course, over time, we've discovered that, oh, wait a second, there really are.
Yeah. I think you bring in, like, church refugees, and we've brought that book right up several times in the podcast, was, like, you know, monumental, because you're like texting or calling me going, oh, my gosh, right. I can't wait. Let's do lunch right now.
Here's somebody that actually gave language.
Yep. It's documented.
Documented,
right. It's documented now. It's official.
And so I just, the other thing I kind of wanted to throw out there is kind of what's happened with me and kind of where I've been just shortly.
Sure.
Since I've been on this process, right? Because, you know, my stirring happened, and I think people just should know, like, hey, stirring, don't go into, like, if you start to stir, like, just let go of any expectations, mm-hmm. because you don't know what that path is going to look like. You don't know how long it's going to, you don't know what the twists and turns are going to be.
Yep.
But what is important, and it's what you and I did, is that you find people, you find community, you find a group that says, I get it.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I'm going to, you like, wrestle with your stirring.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'm going to be here when you've got questions. I'm going to help you through it, because I've been through it. I'm still going through it. You know, one of the things for me, since I have made this change in my life, what's the change, Darren? You've not talked about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is it, I don't want to be blasphemous, people, but ask me if I go to church anywhere.
Yeah. Do you go to church?
No.
Well, it's not blasphemous because.
No, I know it's not here.
We've paved that way a long time ago, but.
I don't attend. And now I've gone back mm-hmm. multiple times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because I'm like,
well, maybe. Oh, no,
maybe. You know. And I go back and at the end, I'm just like, it hasn't changed one iota.
Right.
It's still the exact same thing. And what it offers me is still limited, and it's not what I need. So why am I going to do this? What I've done instead is I have filled that space. I had to go out and find the people mm-hmm. and the things that help me reach my next, right? That's going to stretch me, and it's going to pull me up into that relationship with Jesus in a way that I've not found at a church.
Yeah.
And it took me some time, but I found it. And dude, where I am in my faith today and in my understanding of God and in my understanding of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, the ground that I have gained in the last 2 years mm-hmm. outpaces the previous 20 years,
right, yeah.
hands down.
Right.
And it's because I had the space in my life and the freedom
yep.
to pursue the things that were pulling me to Jesus
yeah.
instead of just serving the needs of the existing body so that it can continue to exist.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think that's most, to me, that is a, that serves two things that we're really trying to focus on is the you're not alone kind of a deal,
absolutely. Right?
Which you just mentioned. And then the second part of it is questioning is not only okay, it's actually incredibly, incredibly healthy.
It's wonderful.
Yeah.
But see, there's a guilt there, right?
There is.
And I believe it's an unintended, I hope it's unintended.
Yeah.
But I choose to believe it's an unintended consequence of the church dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we get so used to showing up looking like we have it all together, right? And everybody knows that we show up in our Sunday best and we all act nice and kind, and then we go home and then the arguments flare up again and the kids act wild and, you know, we go back into our problems.
Yeah.
But along with that image is, but don't question.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is why we have professionals. This is why we have people who go to seminary, mm-hmm. who study this and learn this. Well, right. Guess what?
Yeah.
Those people in seminary, you know what they're doing? they're questioning.
Yeah.
And their professors are questioning them.
Yeah.
And this questioning has been going on for, well, since the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, there, when you really understand what we're, who we are actually following,
mm-hmm.
questioning is encouraged.
Yeah.
In a rabbinical tradition, it is encouraged. Mm-hmm. Like they rabbis, the rabbinical tradition was intentional to speak in mysteries and in unclear ways.
Right. Yeah.
So that the listener goes, what are you talking about? Right. Wait a second.
Yeah,
that doesn't
yeah.
make I need to learn more. Yeah. I don't understand this. Yeah. Why would you say that? So, yeah, friends out there, like, if you're stirring,
yeah,
awesome. Stir with open hands.
Yeah.
Let go of expectations, thinking like, oh, I'm stirring. So this is going to be, this is, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Take it a day at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Find people who are stirring. Find a community.
Yeah.
And don't go it alone.
Yeah.
That's really difficult.